The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Everybody joining us on the broadcast tonight and on the FM dial back there. And we would like to say to you Merry Christmas from all of us here at the River to all of you, no matter where you may be. Merry Christmas. And remember, keep Jesus not only in this season, but in every season. He is Lord of all, not just when man decides that they're going to celebrate his birth, but every season of our lives. He is the Lord. Amen. So we love you, and we're glad that you're tuning us. And wherever you're seeing this from, we hope that this finds you well. And we do realize that during this time, there are people who will be going through the holidays this year without loved ones for the first time. And just know, we have a promise of a grand reunion for those who were born again, for those who were saved. And so we have a promise that we will meet them again in heaven. And what a meeting that will be. What a time of rejoicing there will be when we meet those who have gone on without us and gone on before us. And so we're not unsympathetic. We understand that. And we just want you to know that there are people here, if I spin this camera around, there are people here committed to praying for you. And if you're going through this time, and I want to speak very, very carefully to those of you who might be contemplating taking your own life or ending it all, and the devil's trying to tell you that you have nothing to live for, let me just tell you once and for all, he's a liar. You do have worth, and you do have value, and we would love the opportunity to show you the value that Christ has in you. If you're anywhere near the River, we would love to have the opportunity to be Christ to you, to show you Jesus' love, and to show you your worth in God, in Christ, and not only in Christ, but in society. So think about that. If the devil comes to you and those thoughts come to you and say, why not, you'd be better off dead. Why not just end it? Let me just tell you that you would not be better off dead, not like that. And there are people that value you for you, not for what you can do, not for what you can bring to the table. We value you. Jesus wanted you. We want you. You have great worth. I've said this many times. Jesus paid the same price for you as he did the Apostle Paul. Jesus paid the same price for you as he did a Billy Graham. Jesus paid the same price for you as he did every other believer in the world. He didn't find you in a bargain bin. He didn't get you at a discount rate. The world sells you short. The world tries to cheapen you. But Jesus said, I love you this much. And he stretched out his arms and they nailed him to a cross. And he loves you that much. He loved me that much. And I, for one, am glad that the Lord loves us enough that he would give himself for our ransom. You don't have to face this time alone. If you're alone this time and you don't want to be alone during this time of the year, reach out to us. The numbers and everything are on that screen. We'd love to hear from you. We'll get somebody to you, and we'll bring you to us. We'll do whatever it takes. But just know that you have worth, and you are worth more. More. Jesus said, you see the sparrow when it falls from the heavens? He said, the Father knows where that sparrow falls. He said, but don't think anything about that. He goes, because you're worth more than many sparrows. He loves us. Praise God that he loves us. Amen? Amen. Well, hallelujah. We're glad that this is the last service before Christmas, and we're so glad. I hope everybody's. I sent something to the family tonight, and I didn't put it out there but I'll just go ahead and I just feel compelled. If you're one of those people that haven't got all your gift giving and gift buying done, well, shame on you for waiting until Mary's water broke before you started shopping. So anyway, just leave that out there and let that go where it is, right? So anyway, aren't you glad that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty? You know, we can smile, we can enjoy the life that God has given us, amen? And so I'm glad that you're with us. Now on Sunday we talked about the gospel account in Luke's gospel of the birth of the king. Tonight we're going to talk about in Matthew's gospel, go over to chapter 2 in Matthew, and you know, how many of us have seen the Christmas displays where the shepherds are on one side of the manger and the wise men are on the other side of the manger, and you know, they're singing, you know, "We Three Kings," and the little drummer boy comes in. Now, I got a little problem with the little drummer boy. After Vanessa went through having our two kids, you know, the last thing that she wanted to hear after going through the labor that she heard was a little kid coming in banging on a drum. And so, you know, rump-a-pum-pum, she would have said, "Put him out." And matter of fact, she... There was at one point in time she had somebody put out of the labor room that got a little offended at her, and but she said out, and the nurse said she said out, and she said, "But I'm related," and she said out. So I got a feeling I know what would have happened to the little drummer boy had he showed up, and praise God, Brenda Golden was our maternity nurse. We love the Goldens, and they're wonderful folks and good Christian folks, and I'm sure Brenda would have helped them find their way to the door. Had he ever got in there, there'd have been a chase on and she'd have tackled him or something like that. Anyway, so praise God. Matthew chapter 2. Now, it talks about Jesus. In Matthew chapter 1, it talks about Jesus. And you go over into verse 20 of Matthew chapter 1, and it says, "But while he thought about these things," he's talking about Joseph, right? "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream." How many of you know that the Lord's still appearing to people in dreams? I was counseling with a person the other night, and they'd lost something. And I said, "Well, why don't you just pray about it and go to bed, and the Lord will put it into your heart in the middle of the night in the form of a dream or in the form of a thought in the middle of the night where this thing is." And sure enough, I didn't get the praise report, but they called back into Vanessa or talked to Vanessa and said, "Hey, that thing which was missing has been found. Something quickened into my heart to look under the floor of my car," and there it was, or in the floor of my car. And so that was a praise report that went unreported, but it got back to me anyway. And so in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David." Now, where do we see son of David? You see, Joseph had to go to Bethlehem to be registered because he was of the house and lineage of David. Every way around, Jesus was born royalty. Every way around, no matter how you go about it. "Son of David, do not be afraid to take to you Mary your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit." Now, I when I'm reading this, I had to ask myself, how many of us would do that? I mean, we got the Bible. We got all the commands of God. We got all the promises of God. We've got all the answers of God. But if the Lord were to say something like that to us, this woman you're being with, she's pregnant, it's not your kid, but you go ahead and just trust God. What have we been talking about here at the River for the last 5 years anyway? You know, let God be God. God's got this. If we believe the Word of God, and a lot of people say they believe the Word of God, but they believe their own interpretation of the Word of God. And how many of you know you can have a bad interpretation? You know, especially if you were to get the Jefferson Bible. Thomas Jefferson commissioned a Bible to be written where he took out all the miracles because he didn't believe in miracles. He didn't believe in nothing miraculous. So he commissioned a Bible to be translated that removed every miracle. Men can believe what they want, can't they? People are going to do what people are going to do. It doesn't help them. Unfortunately for Jefferson, he probably just didn't realize that in the back, over in the book of Revelation, it says, "Whoever removes anything out of here, his name will be removed from the Lamb's book of life. And whoever adds to it, the plagues of this book will be added to him." You know, I wonder if he's recanted that statement yet. Anyway, just throw that in there. Little history lesson for you. How many of us men are willing to accept that the Lord can speak to our wives? Now, some of us, like Zipporah, the wife of Moses, they have to take the lead because men are so dueless that they won't do the commands of God. And she literally, when she circumcised their son, she literally saved his life. Praise God for a godly woman. It's too bad that we've gotten away from the Scriptures. It's too bad that we don't understand. Verse number 21 says, And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from the Romans. He will save his people from the Democrats. He will save his people from the communists, from the Hitlers. No, you know who has more repression upon us and more aggression toward us? It's our own sin. And he will save his people from their sins. So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken through by the Lord through the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. God with us. Not God against us. Too many people are preaching God's mad at you. And let me tell you, there's going to come a time when his wrath will be kindled. There's coming a time. And I think it's sooner rather than later. But from the time he was born to the time he was crucified, he was with us. And then Jesus said, I'll never leave you, I'll never forsake you, I will be with you always, even until the end of the age. And so he's still with us, amen? God with us, Emmanuel, all right? Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took to him his wife. And he did not know her, he did not have sexual relations with her, all right? Till she had brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. Now, a lot of people say she remained a virgin. Matter of fact, there's a whole sect of people that say she remained a virgin the rest of her life. It's your Bible says that he did not know her until. That meant that until after the birth of Jesus. You can read into that what you want. You can take away from that what you want. But as for me and my house, we're gonna believe the Lord. Amen. All right? Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days, in chapter 2 now, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem. Now, wise men is translated magi. They were probably like the magicians that Moses came against Moses' court. They came from the east, so no doubt it was in Eastern Asia, probably from an Arabic background. They came from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. A lot of speculation on the star, the appearance of the star. A lot of speculation on the date. We know that the dates are not accurate. You know, and you've got B.C. and A.D. Those were set by a man. They weren't set historically, and so they weren't set chronologically. So we can't get all hung up and spun out if Jesus wasn't born on zero. As a matter of fact, between 6 B.C. and 4 AD. There's a range of almost 10 years there. Some believe even further, depending on the calendar that you look at. Knowing this, that the Jews go by a lunar calendar and the rest of the world goes by a solar calendar. Two different systems, right? If I would say the United States is on the US the SAE, measurement and the decimal system, and the rest of the world's on metric, nobody has a problem with it. Well, that's just them foreigners. They believe that metric. Okay? But if I say that one calendar was lunar, the other calendar was solar, and you say you can't pinpoint the zero was wrong because it was set by a guy in Rome way after the fact, people get their eggs all scrambled. You know? And sometimes it's best just leave them in an omelet. Just throw that out there for just... So, they've come to worship him. He was born king of the Jews. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You see, Herod was kind of a faux king. He was set in place by the Romans. He knew that he was just a puppet. He knew that he was just a figurehead. You know, he knew he really didn't have a lot of power other than in Jerusalem proper. And he was a maniacal, crazed man that would kill his rivals and even his children. Okay, he had problems. All right. And when he had gathered the chief priests and the scribes and the people together, he inquired of them to where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet, one of the minor prophets, one of the smaller books, had the honor and the privilege of saying, but you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. Now, this is important because the shepherds came the night he was born. They didn't have JetBlue back then. They didn't even have, you know, the high-speed rail or the Orient Express. I like that because we like to sing We Three Kings of Orient Are. We don't even know how many magi there were. We do realize that there were three gifts, and so we've labeled the three kings bringing three gifts. I don't know, maybe there were 30 kings bringing the same gift. You see, that's the difference between when God does the numbering and man does the numbering. You go back into Numbers, the book of Numbers, when they were getting ready to build the temple and the tabernacle, there were 18 young men, 18 young rulers of Israel. They all brought the same gift. Now, some of you went back through a Bible reading, you got to read that. You know, get to read it over and over, and you're like, man, this guy brought the same thing as that guy. Why didn't they just say, these 18 brought these gifts? Because God doesn't shortcut on you. Every prince brought this gift, and it was repeated. This prince brought this gift, and it was repeated. This prince brought... He didn't use quotation marks. He didn't use air quotes. God gives credit where credit is due, and I think it's time that we, as in the house of God, in the body of Christ, start giving credit where credit is due. And we gotta quit that false humility. Oh, you're so sweet. If somebody does you a good thing, say, man, thank you. God bless you. We bought into society, haven't we? You know, my grandmother taught us, you know. And we in Grandma and Grandpa's house there, or in Grandpa's church, there were a lot of poor folk back then, you know. And my grandpa taught me, he said, it doesn't matter what gift somebody gives you, no matter what it is. He said, you tell them that you're thankful and you appreciate the thoughtfulness that went into that, and you appreciate that. You know something? I was thinking about this. As we're going through this lesson, I was thinking about this. Do you know one of the most amazing things, the most amazing gifts I ever got when I was a kid? Now, I was a big baseball player. I love baseball. The baseball runs in our blood, man. We bleed cowhide and stitches, and Mr. Spalding can go right on out the... Anyway. One of my friends in Sunday school class, when we had a name exchange, he got me two brand new Wilson baseballs. And I'm telling you what, I don't think I appreciated the car I got when I was 16 any better than I appreciated them baseballs. Matter of fact, I've still got one in the, and Mark, if you're watching this by chance or whatever, or somebody sees this and sees Mark and say, you know, just tell him, say, I've still got one of those baseballs to this day, and it's been 46 years later. I don't even have my first car. You know, something just means something to you. He took some thought. He knew what this guy would appreciate. He knew what this guy, and for somebody else, I mean, you know, back then baseballs weren't too expensive. They weren't the most expensive gift, but man, to me, man, he rung my bell, man. I liked it. So we don't know. We don't know how many magi came. But if you think about traveling through the desert on a caravan, it's highly unlikely that there would just been three of them. That was a dangerous passage. I mean, even after Jesus had been resurrected on the road to Emmaus, which was about 8 miles east of Jerusalem, they said, hey, let's turn in because it's coming. The road is dangerous. This is a dangerous place. Let's turn in. They compelled Jesus to go in because the night was coming. So I doubt that three men bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh would have traveled across or would have transversed the desert and the countryside just by themselves. All right? Okay. Let's just make that point. All right. And so Herod, in verse number 7, when he had secretly called the wise men to determine what time the star had appeared, and then he sent them to Bethlehem, and he said, go and search carefully. Now watch this. Not baby. Not baby. When you see wise men at the manger, just know somebody ain't read the Bible. The child. The young child, nonetheless, but the child. And when you found him, bring back word to me so that I may also come, so that I may come and worship him also. Isn't it amazing? Herod was looking to kill the king, kill the competition. Do you know that there's a group right now that still worships baby murder? I'm just going to throw it out there. There's a group right now that still worships the murder of innocent babies, even after they're born now. Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. As it was, so it is. There's still a group that worships at the altar of Molech. Mm-hmm. And when they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them until it came and stood over, now some translations put, the house where the young child was. Now how is that possible? We've talked about this a little bit. Anybody that knows anything about stars and planets and heavenly bodies knows that they are on orbits. They have a path that they follow. We are just yesterday was the shortest day of the year. We're at the furthest point away from the sun that we will be. And every day we get a little closer. And every day we get a little closer, we get a little bit more light. And every day we get a little bit more light means we can stay outside longer. And every day we can stay outside a little longer means it's starting to get warmer. You know, you see what I'm saying? And all that is because we're following an elliptical orbit around the star, which is our sun. Now, what if we said to, you know, Bill Gates is wanting to put that umbrella over the earth to block out bad sunlight. What if he really had the power to do that? What if we could say, hey, Bill Gates, what if you were, you know, we want to go back and relive November the 3rd again. Can you send us back to November the 3rd? I imagine probably a high percentage of this country would like to go back to November the 3rd of last year and redo those votes. That's just me. But if we had the ability to do that, we would have to go backwards in our orbit. It don't happen. We're going in a predicted pattern. But this star that they had seen almost 2 years earlier came back. Mm-hmm. Come on. Heavenly body? I prefer to think divine intervention. You see, the same God, that the same Holy Spirit that could impregnate a teenage girl without natural means, He's not bound to the laws of the universe. He's not bound to the patterns that we would say. I mean, think about it. If God were bound to the patterns and the habits of the universe, would He have picked you? Ask yourself, who else in this life has picked you? I mean, which one of us have been on the president's council? You know, which one of us have been on a governor's council or a mayor's council? Which one of us has anybody of royalty picked? You see, God exists outside of those rules. Supernatural, divine, right? And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, you may have noticed a pattern in some of our messages as of recent and as of late. You know, it's time that we start receiving the word with gladness. It's time that we start rejoicing. And it's time that we finally break the chains that want to embody us here and say, you know what, you don't act like that in church. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty happy that Jesus loves me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited that He saved me. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty excited that He's coming back again. I'm pretty excited that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And they were exceedingly great joy. That means I don't think they did the golf clap. I think some of them raised the roof, right? You know, I think some of them got a little. Oh, there he is! Hallelujah! I think if Pastor Burkhart was here, he would say some of them got themselves off a hallelujah, right? I wish that Christians would let their yes be yes and their no be no. And some of that means that we're going to have to break off our old personalities. You know, some, heaven forbid, there was a movie that said, you know, he was speaking of a guy that never laughed at anything, never was allowed to enjoy anything. You know, it came up very, very, very strict, and they said he was tragically born without a personality. And that may have been true of the old man. But let me just tell you this. When you accepted Jesus as your Savior, you became a new man. Old things were passed away. That means if you can't enjoy life before, you need to start enjoying life now. That means that if you can't laugh and love, then you need to get the new man. You're still the old man. There's grave clothes still on you. What did they say to Lazarus when he came forth out of the grave, wrapped up like a mummy in the grave clothes? He said, get them things off of him. He's alive. He's not dead. He don't need that dead man's garments on him anymore. Let him live. For some of us, we need to say, loose them and let them go. Some of our past, loose them and let them go. We need to be able to rejoice in the Lord. Amen. You know, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say, rejoice. All right, I'll prompt you this time so we can get it right. And do it this time we'll do it right with enthusiasm. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I'll say,
rejoice.
Amen. There you go. It's about time to break off some of that old demonically inspired sourpuss mentality that we got. We need to be able to rejoice in the Lord always. If your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, you've got something to rejoice about, amen? And I don't care what season it is. I know there are going to be some people out there that are going to get mad at us for saying, we don't celebrate Christmas. Well, some people just don't celebrate at all. Let's just. By the way, you need to get over into the Old Testament a little bit. You know, you need to get over there and see who it was that created the festivals and the feast days. And it wasn't you, and it wasn't the church. It was the Lord that gave feast days because He knew some of you would turn into complete sourpusses and go around like Pastor Burkhart used to say, with faces as long as an army mule. Some of y'all been to the first church of Eeyore. Well, praise God. I'm so happy I could just chuckle. Well, bless God. We done lost another 20 people last week, but God knows. Yeah, God knows you need to straighten up and fly right and show a little joy in your salvation. If you're glad you're saved, tell somebody you're glad you're saved. If you're glad that you're in a Bible preaching house, then tell God, you know, tell people you are. And if you get happy about it, they'll get happy about it. The only thing more infectious than the corona is happy. You want to mess with people? You want to make them go insane in the membrane? You go down to Walmart and walk through there with a grin on your face. They'll say, "Put that mask back on. I can't stand that." You know, they'll be like the people of Israel when Moses came down off the mountain with the tablets. Oh, they're smiling. We haven't smiled since 2020. What are you doing? Well, I can just tell them one thing. This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me.
Thank you, Lord.
This joy that I have, the world didn't give to me. And if the world didn't give it, then the world can't take it away. Some of y'all just needed a reminder tonight. That's it. We just here for a reminder. Right? So anyway, just wanted to throw that in there. Whenever you see a nativity set, Lowe's going to have them on sale down there. Say, hey, how much if you sell me a biblically correct one? You keep them three wise men, the camels, and the little. You keep that some of the biblically correct one. You probably get a discount. There is a lady, if you're watching this, there is a lady that somebody done stole the baby Jesus, and she's looking for a baby Jesus for her nativity, but somebody needed Jesus more than she did, and I think they really needed Jesus. So anyway, they stole him. Help me, Lord, help me. Somebody done stole my baby Jesus. And they've been on a search for about 2 years to find baby Jesus. Seen a poster down at the post office. Have you seen me and this little baby Jesus? You know, in a manger. I'm just kidding. Somebody did steal her baby Jesus. She hadn't put out a reward for it, and she's not going to pay $58 for one on Bison Trade. All right, so you're just going to have to know that Jesus ain't in the manger no more when you go by her house. All right. Joseph and Mary still be there. Jesus gone. He out. He split. Well, praise God. I hope you got something out of tonight. I mean, listen, a lot of the stories, a lot of traditions that we adhere to, they're really not biblical. The angels didn't sing. His name wasn't Harold. You know. Hark, Harold, the angel sang. No, he didn't. And God's name is not Andy. All right, somebody looked at me again. Kid went to school and teacher tried to tell him there's no God. He says, yes, there is. There's no God. Yes, there is, and I know his name. What? I know his name. You know God's name? I sure do. She goes, what's his name? Because we sing it every week. Andy walks with me, Andy. All right, so, all right. Merry Christmas, everyone. God bless you. And if we can help you in any way, reach out to us at the numbers on your screen. We love you. God bless you. Feliz Navidad and joyous Noel. God bless. Oh.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.